Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. As most of you know, I've been in Modesto, California for about the last month and a half, really, taking care of my elderly parents. Thank you all very much for your well wishes. I really appreciate it. It's meant a lot. It's been tough, frankly. I'll be 60 in May. My parents are 87. My mom is 87. My dad's 86. They haven't been well these last few years, in particular my dad. But recently my mom has had to have knee replacement surgery. And I have really always had this great relationship with my folks, but I have really struggled with finding anything terribly pleasant about being here recently. I'm exhausted. I think, of course, that's part of it. And I really have felt that, you know, I'm, you know, really performing this role of caretaker, which is not so fun. My parents have done so much for me, so I feel very, of course, obligated to be here. It's important. There have been some very sweet moments, but some real tough ones too. I'm not an only child. I have siblings to assist and share with, and they've been great, and they know that. But in the moment, right now, it's me. Whether, you know, counting out the dosage of medication, helping with clothing, bedding, washing, cooking, it's all tough, and there's not a lot of funny to be found, frankly. You know, I've been in their home now for just over a month, and I wish I could find some humor. But the duty of being a caregiver to an elderly parent is an important one, but it's a stressful one. And maybe laughter is the best medicine approach. Maybe that's the smart play. But it doesn't always work. I remember a Roz Chast cartoon. Of course, Roz Chast, the great cartoonist from The New Yorker, and her memoir, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant, which is wonderful, about how much her parents loved and adored each other. And, you know, I mentioned one of those dear, sweet moments. While here with my dad, during the time that my mom was in the rehab hospital following her knee replacement surgery, my dad described their first date in vivid detail, telling me about how he fell in love with my mom at UC Berkeley, specifically at the UC Berkeley library, and that the library was really so much more to them than a library after that. And my dad used this phrase. It was really great. He referred to my mom as, "What a woman." And I just thought that was really nice. And so there have been those touching moments. Certainly, there are moments that are funny. I think any child that goes home, you know, returning to a childhood home, particularly like I am, you notice a bunch of stuff. My dad is a funny guy, and funny in just kind of a manic way sometimes. He has welded. My dad is this retired physician, but he has welded, literally hand-welded, window bars. You know, he's gotten older with my mom. He wants to take care of her more. He certainly wants to be more present and available and less fearful. So he has these window bars. They have a dog who really is a dog named Bailey, who's really a, you know, kind of a shelter animal, and just been ravaged, you know, by so much more than time. I'll put a picture up to this. Since my mom has gotten home from the rehab hospital, she has this walker that she uses, of course, to support herself as her knee is still recovering. She's still on the mend. But the tray on this walker, and again, I'll put a picture up, she's got food enough for a week on there. She's got files and paperwork and medication, and then she's got these small little water bottles placed on the walker itself, and then she places these same small water bottles discreetly around the house, I'm sure. You know, and then there's these bits of food, and all of this, I'm sure, is in her mind designed to stave off hunger you know, once the apocalypse takes place, my mom uses a bell to ring me when she needs me. My parents wrap the sausages out of the package in individual cellophane so that, and then they freeze them, so that they're in the freezer as these individual sausages, just by themselves. I think that's, so it's almost like double packaging. And then, of course, over the years, my dad, and I've talked about this a little bit, I spoke to Roz Chast about this. My dad, as this retired physician, has used Tucks, the medicated wipes. I mean, I'm sure he got them first from the hospitals, and then used them personally as well as professionally. But my dad has probably 1,000 of these Tucks canisters that he could just never bring himself to throw away. These Tucks canisters have all of his various hardware. There are Tucks canisters with different size wood screws. There are Tucks canisters filled with different size metal screws. My dad, in addition to welding, he also works metal lathes. These Tucks canisters have hinges. These Tucks canisters have really just all odds and ends that my dad has collected over the years, but just cannot bring himself to throw away either the Tucks canisters or the contents within the Tucks canisters. So I'll put pictures up to all of that. And there's beauty in all of that. Certainly there's true love at my parents' house, this love affair that's gone on for over 65 years. You know, as I say, my dad's really sick. And my mom is going to miss him. And it's interesting talking to my mom because she just views this as her one guy. This is who she really dated since college at Cal. And then they got married and she's been married to this one guy for 65 years. So it's a tough moment. It's a little bittersweet. But just like, you know, Roz Chast has depicted in her cartoon. Roz depicts in her cartoon that her parents were a tight little unit, and Roz's mom responds in the cartoon, in the book, saying, "Codependent? Of course we were. And thank God." You know, and I think of my own parents, and I think, absolutely, they're codependent. They are deeply in love with each other. While at my parents' house, you know, along with collecting nearly everything, my parents have this deep library. My parents could never bring themselves to throw away Tucks canisters. So books, which rank much higher, I'm sure, in their minds, have never been thrown away. And my parents have this exhaustive library. And so I've checked out all of these massive number of books in their home. And I've had a chance to read a couple. One in particular, a very thin memoir by the late Elizabeth Edwards, the former wife of disgraced presidential candidate John Edwards, titled Resilience, is a good one. And it really was very inspiring to me. It's all of like 240 pages, so it's light reading really at its best. But it's wonderful. I'd even call it wise and thoughtful. It's really the story of making difficult adjustments in response to difficult problems. Or as Edwards puts it, and I love the way she puts this, it's like standing in the storm, and when the wind doesn't blow your way, you adjust your sails. And I think that's just a lesson that we'd all be better off for learning. I think Elizabeth Edwards had a hard life, certainly, towards the end, battling cancer, all kinds of issues in her marriage. But this book, Resilience, literally the title says it all, and certainly it could be titled Perseverance even. You know, she really learned this lesson of kind of adjusting her sails. And I'm hopeful that I'll be able to do so, you know, kind of following, you know, anything that happens with my own parents, because it's certainly going to be stormy weather whenever you know, kind of the next act occurs. And I think, like, being thrust into the role of caring for elderly parents, you know, you do get emotionally and physically exhausted. My mom has established several close friendships, and these friends are now friends to me and my sisters. But the truth is that despite all these friends, you know, it really falls to me and, you know, again, in the moment, at me and certainly my sisters, who are the actual caretakers, not the friends, and that my parents are no longer independent, either physically or mentally. It's really a truth that I don't even like to admit. I started doing a bunch of research on this subject because it's just so important to me. And in addition to reading a couple of these books in my parents' library, I looked up this geriatric internist in Seattle. Her name is Elizabeth Kiasu. And she says that, you know, watching your parents lose their independence is one of the most challenging realities we face as our parents age. That, and this is a quote from her, "We've witnessed our parents' decision-making our whole lives, important decisions about us, their children, and themselves. Then their decision-making becomes impaired, and we end up making those decisions for them. Even if we rarely doubt ourselves when making decisions for our own children, making decisions while caring for elderly parents remains inherently ambiguous." And I think that that says so much. Eating really has been this this perfect example of this, and I've been cooking for my parents since being here. I know that for my own children, if they're not eating, my wife Gretchen just simply we insist that they eat for nutrition alone. But my parents, you know, they want some special food at some special times a day. My dad loves his vanilla ice cream at about 7 p.m. and sometimes it's led to a refusal to eat anything else because of the expectation for kind of this later treat. You know, and so you have this complex conversation which often, you know, pits, you know, what you hope to see them regain in terms of their health against this determination that you have also to let go of them. And so it's a tough time. I also read this really wonderful book by Anne Lamott called Grace Eventually, which I think certainly for me prompted much grace in this time of my helping them and needing some help myself, because you kind of feel doomed. And Anne Lamott says, "Not coincidentally, when you have finally run out of good ideas," and this is a quote from her, "when you have finally run out of good ideas on how to proceed and on how better to control the people or circumstances that are frustrating or defeating you, you experience grace as this fresh air, and you no longer feel spiritually claustrophobic. You experience this kind of sense of water wings, as Anne Lamott describes. So grace is something you do. You chase it down. And it's something that you can receive when you stop trying to be in charge, when you stop trying to, you know, insist on them eating healthily, or, you know, convincing yourself that it's time to let go. You just kind of move with it. And I think we really do communicate grace to one another. You know, you need to stop and take a look at your parents and enjoy them. And maybe it's not hilarious funny, but there are some very funny moments. And you kind of hold on to that space, because I think my parents are terrified right now. And instead of trying to fix them or manage their emotions for them, I need to just be there. I need to offer them some almost silent companionship, particularly for my dad, or even gentle listening, which is what I try to do with my mom. And I know she's feeling alone, and she's going to even feel more alone as kind of this next act, as I say, occurs for my dad. And you do this because they're thirsty. You know, they're thirsty for that companionship, and you offer it. I don't always know what to say. I certainly don't know what to say always to you, my audience. But I will say this: caring for elderly parents is never easy. You know it's got to be done, so you do it. But you understand that the routine, you know, the physical therapy, the eating, the washing of the clothes, helping with all of the, you know, necessary doctor's appointments and scheduling of things for the home, that all has to be done. And so you learn to appreciate, you know, kind of kind words that are you know, offered your way, words of support. And I think that you then become not so frustrated with your predicament, and your attitude, certainly my attitude, has improved an awful lot. So when I think about all that, you know, my parents have gone through, and I think about this idea of, you know, laughter as being the best medicine, I really come back to this idea that, you know, I do want to delight in being a caregiver. And especially because my parents are seniors, and, you know, I want to do something good, you know, for my heart and mind, and I want to offer companionship and listening to them, and I want to definitely take a little bit of a laughter break once in a while and kind of poke fun at some of these things that you see that your parents do that you know you're going to be doing yourselves, but they're loved ones. And so my plan, certainly for my parents, hasn't exactly worked out like I'd expected. As I say, I'm just plain exhausted. But I do feel this tremendous universal theme of love that I know all caregivers can relate to. And so this show is really to all of you, those that are caregivers, that understand what it's like to deal with aging and death. And those are tough moments. But look at some of these brighter sides. Look at some of these moments that can open up your eyes and let you smile, and particularly open up your parents' hearts a little bit and offer them kind of that silent listening or that companionship where they need it, and let them share a little bit about their lives with you. So again, thanks very much for indulging me. I hope you enjoy this show. Remember, you can find all of our shows at notoldbetter.com. And again, to all the caregivers, great job, great work. I certainly am in your shoes, and I know how tough it is. Thank you. There's that bell I was referring to earlier, so I gotta go. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, Paul Vogel saying, The Not Old Better Show.